are on week 3 of our Back to the Garden series, where we are talking about worship. Not just what happened here, which was an A+, but how worship can be all throughout our life. Worship is a 24/7 gig that we get to take part in, and we're learning the ins and outs of that. And I don't know if you noticed. If you didn't notice, I was gone last week. Don't tell me. But I was gone last week. My husband and I got to go on a vacation. We've never been on a week-long vacation before. I highly recommend it. Thank you. It was amazing. We went to Gatlinburg. We stayed in a cabin, a fancy cabin. It was not a hiking-type cabin. I don't do that. But it was just, it was a week of crawfish boils and no dishes and no kids. The cabin came with these 3 very loving stray cats that I enjoyed, and it was wonderful. But I will tell you, I missed this place. I found myself waking up on Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m., which is sleeping in for me, praise God. But I was like, I wonder what they're doing right now. I wonder if they're doing worship. I wonder what songs they're singing. I wonder if, you know, how's Daily's preaching going? And I missed it. And while I was working on this sermon, I thought, what a privilege to have a job that I miss while I'm on vacation. I wasn't dreading coming back to work. I didn't mind being on vacation. I'd like to take another one. But I just found myself thinking, I miss y'all. This morning, we're talking about work. And I wanted to sing a song about work, but they are all PG-13, and so I'm going to withhold. I couldn't think of a single G-rated one. Does that say more about me than y'all? I don't know. But we're talking about work, and I did some math, which means take this with a grain of salt. But I did use a calculator and Google. If we're considering that, we're just going to generalize, we're saying we all work about 40 hours. And I know that there's some of you going, that is when I start to take a lunch break, is at 40 hours. But if you work a 40-hour work week, and we're considering a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, right? That is 1/3 of the amount of time you have in a Monday through Friday. 1/3 of your time is spent at work. If you are taking good care of yourself and getting a good night's rest, and can I take a mom moment and tell you a good night's sleep is a very important part of your mental health and your physical health, so y'all, please try to get as close to 8 hours as you can. It's okay to go to bed at 9. Lots of us do it. If you're sleeping 8 hours a night, that's another 1/3 of your life. So Monday through Friday, you spend 33.333% repeating at work, another 33.33333% repeating sleeping, and you have 33% to do everything else. Some of you have children. You're taking care of children. You're doing the grocery shopping. Most of us go to the bathroom. All of that is shoved into 33% of our week. That is also a fun thing to look up, how much time you spend doing that. It's important. So I think we can say work matters, right? Work is an important part of our life. How we allow work to affect our mood matters. How our work affects our family life matters. How our work affects our spiritual life matters. And I want to say something. I didn't write this down. This was something I was thinking about in worship. I loved that battle song. And I loved the line where it said, I'll sing through the night. And I had this thought that I know there's probably people in here who work feels like nighttime for you right now. Work feels like the long dark tea time of the soul is what Douglas Adams calls it. I want to tell you, I can teach you how to sing through that. I can teach you how to sing at work even if you don't like work. If you can stick with me. So, We know that work matters. The next question we need to ask is, does work matter to God? Does he care about your job? If you work at Starbucks, if you work at, God bless you, Taco Bell, my favorite restaurant, if you are a pediatrician, if you are a pet groomer, if you are retired, does God care about work? So to back up a little bit, we have been talking about this definition of worship being the perpetual glorification of God, which just means we are worshiping all the time. It's going on all the time. And then the equation to understand that, then physically, what is worship? Worship equals work plus relationship. And if you remember when Dele introduced this topic in week one, we came up with this through, we looked at Genesis and we said, what do we see in Genesis? Because we know that there was worship, God was worshiped in Genesis, but how, in specifically in the garden, before everything went kablooey, and what did it look like? And we found there was relationship. Adam and Eve had relationship with each other, and then God had relationship with Adam, and God had relationship with Eve. That was relationship. Now, the very first thing God did after he created mankind, what was it? He gave him a job. He gave him a job. Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And then the most delicious directive in the Bible is here. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. That's seafood. And over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God looked at mankind, and said, they need each other, and they need a job. They need work. And that is how they worshiped in the garden. Adam named all the animals, and they took care of the earth. So that's one example of where we can see work does matter to God. It was the first gift that he gave us, aside from women. Hey-o! So then we see Jesus. I don't know if you guys know this about Jesus. He did not start his ministry work until age 30. So if you are about to turn 30, I keep seeing all these memes that poor millennials are just freaking out. Your life is not over at 30. Jesus didn't even start until 30. And then he just packed it all in into 3 years. A lot of us have way longer than that. So there's life after 30, y'all. Take a deep breath. But Jesus didn't start off his life in ministry. He trained as a carpenter. He worked as a carpenter. Not only that, it was a trade job, right? Jesus had a trade job. He did not go to college for this. Jerusalem University. Go Camels. He trained with his dad, Joseph, as a carpenter. Now, I heard a comedian, I would bet money it's Jim Gaffigan, but I couldn't find it. And I'm telling you, if you Google comedians talking about Jesus, it's no bueno. Okay, so I didn't delve super hard into finding out who said this, but it was a comedian that was talking about, what if Jesus wasn't good at being a carpenter? Like, boy, we're really glad that Savior thing worked out because this is the worst chair I have ever sat on, right? And it is funny to think about, like, Mary's like, thanks for the shelves, Jesus. We'll put these right over here in the re-gift pile. But I would bet money that Jesus was a great carpenter. You know why? Because every time I read about Jesus in the Bible, he's doing whatever he's doing with excellence. Whatever he is saying, he is doing it with love, he is doing it with excellence, and he is glorifying God as he's doing it. If Jesus made a table, that table sings to the Lord. You know what I mean? So we know that work matters to God. We know that it was so important to Jesus that even though he knew, hey, my big job is coming up here, age 30, he still worked in the meantime, which means, I know the topic of work, some of us love our jobs, some of us hate our jobs. Some of us are waiting for our dream jobs. Some of us feel like God has called us to something else, and we're just like, how long am I going to be here? Jesus can relate to that. When you're at work and you're frustrated or you're bored or you're just waiting on a promotion or you're watching others get promoted when you know it should be you, when you are experiencing injustice at work, when you're celebrating work, when you're loving your job, when that's all you want to do, Jesus understands that. He had a job. So, work matters, but this is not a series on work, right? This is a series on worship. So how exactly do work and worship factor together? The first concept of this that I want to talk about is the sacred nature of work. So sacred is a fancy word that just means holy, right? It is set apart to God. It is sacred. Secular means something that has no characteristics or foundation of spirituality or religion. Okay? So Hillsong writes sacred music, and Beyonce writes secular music, right? Austin Channing Brown writes sacred texts. Stephen King writes secular texts. Sacred versus secular. And as we say here, I'd like you to set that aside because I'm going to completely erase what I just said. Church, this Sunday gathering, is a sacred place, right? We can all agree that. We can all agree with that. God is here. We show up here. We come to see God. He speaks to us. There's a bassist on the worship team, so we really feel him, right? The preaching was funny, and so we're like, yes, I met God. That engaged my mind. I thought about it. Enjoyed the hugs afterwards. And then what do? We take all of our relationship, all of our God stuff, all of our Jesus stuff, we pack it up into a little suitcase. We walk out that door, we put the suitcase in our trunk, and we drive away. Everything stays in that little suitcase, right? When I come back next Sunday, I will open my trunk, I will get the suitcase back out, I will unpack my Jesus stuff. Sacred. Everything out there is secular, not sacred. But here's the thing. There is this little idea that Jesus introduces to us in the New Testament called incarnation, which means instead of us packing Jesus in our little suitcases, when we make Jesus Lord of our lives, he packs a little suitcase, and he takes his little suitcase and he moves into our hearts, and that's where he lives for the rest of his life.
How's it going in there?
Which is a childlike view of it, but it really is like, his spirit is with us at all times. We don't pack him into a suitcase. We walk out and Jesus is like, I am also coming. Hello? In the words of TikTok, does he see us? I see him. Okay, anyway. Every time I bring up TikTok, it does not work here. I will keep trying though, y'all. So I recommend just watch it half an hour a day. You'll be fine. So there is no, I go to a secular place and then I go to a sacred place. We don't come see God at church the way that we go visit grandpa, okay? God is here because we are here. We carry his presence within us. When we gather to worship him, he is here. When we call on him, he shows up. That's what makes a space sacred. So, if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, wherever you set your feet is sacred ground. sacred ground. Now you're spending a third of your life at work. Have you considered that is also sacred ground? You take Jesus with you there. All places are sacred. In the same way, God has breathed life into every single human being on this planet. All people are sacred. Every person you meet, wherever you are, is an eternal being. God breathed life into them, and they are going to live forever. Whether they make Jesus Lord or not is what determines where they spend eternity. But every single person you meet is wrestling with that decision, whatever it looks like for them, whatever the wrestling looks like. So these people that we label as coworkers, they are sacred. You have made their workplace a sacred place, and you are with them maybe more than you're with your spouse or your friends or your children on a Monday through Friday basis. It matters how you treat them. It matters how you view them. It matters how you talk about them, whether to other coworkers or outside of work. Those are sacred people walking on sacred ground. So that's our point one, the sacred nature of work. Our second one is our definition of work. And instead of giving a definition, because I had three, we're going to build a new framework of how to view work with three components, okay? It's kind of like we're going to bake a cake. I'm going to give you the ingredients, but each one of them is related to work. So this framework is going to help us see how worship happens at work. Because we all hear that thing like, yeah, your life is a ministry, or, you know, you're the only Bible that some people will read. But what does that mean? What does that mean when I work at a U.S. call bank and some lady is yelling at me because her account is in the negative as if I spent her money? I did not, ma'am. I can see the Chipotle things on your, I've got your spending, ma'am. It's not me. How do I worship through that? I'll tell you what, that was a long, dark night of the soul. Don't trust banks. Okay. So, number one, and when I say framework, we're going to build like a pyramid. So our bottom layer is the work. The work, capital W. Did you know that one of the most profound and retweetable comments that Jesus ever made was prompted by a lawyer? I love that they call him a lawyer in the Bible. This is in Matthew 22. And Jesus is teaching, and the religious people are just very annoyed with him because he's saying truth, but he's asking them to change their lives, and like, that is not how this works. And there's a lawyer. He has a job, right? I love that. He has a job. It says he's an expert at the law. And so he asks Jesus, hey, which one of these is the greatest commandments? There's a whole bunch of commandments, but I want to know what the greatest one is. And I know there's people who will read that and say he's trying to trick Jesus, which is a fair assumption because that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were mostly doing. But I wonder if he was just being a lawyer. These are the questions he has as a lawyer. There are people of science who have different questions for Jesus than I do. I don't care. I gotta say, I don't care about chlorophyll. I don't care about the Big Bang. I don't need that stuff to believe in Jesus. I do need poetry. I do need Mozart. I need movie scores. I need Thomas Newman. I need Michael Giacchino. Okay? Those are the things that I want to experience Jesus with. This guy's just, he's a lawyer. He's being a lawyer with Jesus, and I love that. So he says, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then Jesus is like, since you didn't ask, I will give you the second one, which is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says, all of the law hangs on these two commandments. Love God, love people. This is the work. Our primary work, no matter who you are, if you are a follower of Christ, your primary work is to love God and love people. And look, it's whether you think they deserve it or not. You gotta love them. Do they make your job harder? You gotta love them. Do they talk bad about you behind your back? You gotta love them. Are they your biggest fan? It's easy to love them. I hope you guys have people in that, in your life like that. But that's the work. You love God with everything inside you, with every action of your body, with every thought in your mind, you love him. And then you take that love and you show it to other people. That is the work. In 2 Corinthians, when it talks about we are ambassadors of Christ, we are reflecting and representing Jesus, you're doing it through this. I love you. You're absolutely mean to me, but I love you. You know why? Because sometimes I am absolutely mean to Jesus. He has yet to turn his back on me, and I've used some words with him, and he stays. And we show that same love to other people. So that's our foundation. That's number one, the work. Love God, love people. Our second, like, box is our job. So this is your generalized 9-to-5. If you're in here and you're like, I work 8:30 to 4, great. Okay, still just do some math with me and stay with me. We're on the same, stay on the same page. Now, we as a church body, I'm talking Big C Church, we have jacked this up just a little bit because almost every single person has a job, right? But we tend to elevate ministry jobs and de-emphasize the workplace. Oh, you're called to the workplace. Yes, 85% of us are. Do you want 9 million pastors up here every week? But this does a lot of, it does disservice because much in the way that we devalue things by calling them secular, we devalue the ministry that is done in secular jobs by calling them secular. As if ministry doesn't happen there. I thought of people like Asha. This week, Asha works with kiddos. They're this big. She works with kiddos. And a month or so ago, I saw on Facebook that she organized a fall harvest for her kids. Now, is Asha a part of the body here? Yes. Is she on staff? No. Does she do ministry here? No. But does she minister to every single one of those kiddos every day, every minute that she is at work? Yes. What are those kids going to learn about Jesus because they know how much Miss Asha loves them? How patient she is when they yell. How patient she is when they make a mess. There are counselors and psychologists, stay-at-home moms, people who work at Starbucks, have you ever had a customer service representative ask you how you are and it just feels genuine? And you're like, oh, I'm actually not doing that great. Thank you, Burger King person. You know, like, can I talk to you about my husband? Do we think that's not ministry? That is worship. What Asha does brings glory to God. She is perpetually glorifying God. Without the title of pastor, without the title of ministry leader, she glorifies him. Asha, thank you. Thank you. The work is to love people, and you do that through your job. When you're showing your coworkers Jesus, you are worshiping. When you're at your job and you are complaining about your boss, that is not worshiping God. When you are not carrying your load at work, when you are calling off last minute, God bless the food service workers that have kept on during COVID when there's two people at a McDonald's trying to get the lunch rush through. Not being responsible at work is not honoring the sacred place that you are carrying with you. It matters how you act at your job. So we've got number one, the work, love God, love people. Number two, your job, working 9 to 5. There it is. Why couldn't I think of that? I want that. Thank you, Dolly. Thank you. Number three is your calling. Your calling is like, we refer to it as your mandate here. It is something that God has specifically given you to do. And this is another thing that we've kind of like, we can overemphasize it as if the end all and be all of your life is to do that calling. Now, it is very important. It is very important. However, your calling is not what you wait for. The work of God in your life does not wait for your calling. Also, you don't receive your calling and then suddenly know how to do it. Preparation must happen. And sometimes that happens while you're working at the Huber Heights Showcase Cinema. That's where I worked. Sometimes it works when you are a garbage man or woman, equal opportunity. Sometimes that preparation happens before you even know what your calling is. Sometimes it happens and you will wait decades until you step into that calling. But I will tell you, I have never talked to a single person who is older and has waited for that opportunity that goes, man, I just wasted my whole life and now I'm finally living at age 67. They enjoy it when it happens. Because it's not like God is at the finish line going, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We talked about the incarnation. He is with you throughout the entire time. So that's our framework of work, the work, then your job, and your calling. What happens when these are misaligned? What happens when you make your job the foundation of what you do instead of loving God and loving people? If you put your job first, you're going to get burnt out. You will end up hating your job because it can't fulfill you. You will feel no purpose eventually. That, or you will get so sucked into that that you will lose sight of what God has for you outside of your job. Okay? You will get consumed by it and forget that you are not there for promotions. You are not there for money. You are there to represent Christ, to bring his presence there and make it look nice, what's the word, to the people around you. Let me tell you a story. I was working at an insurance place, life insurance, and there was me and another gentleman who were pretty outspoken Christians, whatever. Everybody knew that we were Christians. In 2020, when a lot of the protests were going on, the other guy was really vocal in a not kind way. I won't give very many details about that, but it was tough to hear the kinds of things he was saying. And I had a friend who worked two cubicles down from me. She was not a Christian. She still isn't. But she was one of those, I don't talk politics and I don't talk religion, but she and I talked politics and religion all the time. And I asked her, I said, what do you think of me and this other guy? Because you know we both believe in Jesus, and you know we both read the same Bible. But he and I are handling this situation in two very different ways. And she said, if that is following Jesus, I don't want anything to do with him. But if you are acting the way you act because that's who Jesus is, then I'm interested. That is not a parable. That is a real story that happened with a coworker who is so precious to me. It matters. It matters that you're not putting your job first and forgetting who you are there for. The second thing that happens if it's misaligned, if you put your calling first, if you place all of your ministry actions in the future, you'll miss out on the opportunities and preparations that are happening right now. God will still, because he is good and he is gracious, bring you into your calling and you will not be ready. If you're not loving people through your calling, if you are in your calling but not doing it out of love for others, that ain't worship. When these are correctly aligned, when you are loving people first, y'all, you will find so much favor. This is real. Is it a humble brag? I'll leave it up to you. But every job I've had, and I've been working since I was 15 and a half, shout out to the dry cleaners that hired me. My mom's here. every job I've worked that had an Employee of the Month award, I've won it several times. I was not always the best employee, but I was the most helpful, and I was the most loving. And you knew that when Bethany showed up to the shift, it was going to be well run, and there was going to be happy vibes. It made me very popular. And Employee of the Month things are popularity contests, and I won them every time. You will find favor when you love people. When I was working at a call center at US Bank, I was there for 1 month and got some customer service like award. And so all of us that get this really high, you know, I'm getting all 5 stars or whatever, they bring us all into a circle, and the big boss is like, tell us how you did it. And all of them are just giving answers like, I just do this, blah, blah, blah. It gets to me and I'm like, I just truly care about these people. You can just see everybody go, who is this? But I was the first person in that manager's memory that ever got it within the first 6 months of working. And I did it in the first month. You know why? I love people. I genuinely care about these people. And I saw favor. At Starbucks, I was promoted to shift supervisor before I was supposed to. You have to work there for a certain amount of time, and they made an exception for me. That's favor. These may seem like small things, but when corporations break the rules for you, that says something about what they are seeing in you. And that will make them curious. outside of ministry, it is getting harder and harder to talk about Jesus because there are rules about talking about religion. But guess what? Those rules don't count when people are asking you questions. If someone comes up to me, and this is a real thing that happened to me, my manager said, please come see me. I walked in, she shut the door. She said, I would like to hear what you think about abortion. Okay. I'm allowed to talk about it now because she's asking me a question. Now, that didn't happen on day one, and that didn't happen with me every day in the lunchroom. I'm sitting over my lunch going, God, I pray for my coworkers who don't know you and they are sinners, hell bound. God, help them and bless this ramen soup. Thank you. Right? My manager knew I was going to give a loving answer and have a real conversation with her. I am coming in for, we are wrapping up. When these steps are correctly aligned, you will find favor and ministry will be more fruitful. Why? Because when you are invested in people, they will let you speak into their lives. There is a reason why we don't call it speaking at people's lives. You gotta wait for them to open the door, and then you speak into their lives. That comes from people around you truly understanding and knowing that you love them. I'm not here to lecture you, but I care about what you do on the weekend because I see you on Monday morning and I'm worried about you. And they know it's true. It's not, oh, drinking again. You know what the Bible says about that? They're like, I don't care what the Bible says about it. I care about how you live your life because you never seem hungover. Why are you so chipper on a Monday morning? Why aren't you dragging in with a headache on Monday morning? Then they care about your drinking habits. They don't care about it if you're whining on Monday morning. You got a case of the Mondays. So, what kind of soil are you tilling with your coworkers? I want to give you guys a prayer. It is a real prayer from a real character in a fictionalized depiction in Band of Brothers. But this is the medic, and he prays, Lord, grant that I shall never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, or to be loved as to love with all my heart. That is how you love people. That is how you till fertile soil so that when they have questions, they feel comfortable in asking them to you. So, conclusion. Number one, you carry the Spirit of God inside you. Every place is a sacred place. Two, God has breathed life into every human on this planet. Every person is sacred. Three, everyone's primary work is the same. Love God and love people. And lastly, your job, wherever and whatever it is a place of preparation and opportunity. Please go out from here and show compassion and love to those you work with. Thank you.